friends. Welcome to The Open Word, which is a special program by Strong Tower Radio. And here we don't just talk about the Bible, we actually study it. And my name is Wes Peppers, and I'll be your host, as usual, for our study series. We'll be using the It Is Written Bible Study Guides. It's a wonderful series of lessons that go through various topics on the Bible, and we study that topic from Genesis to Revelation. If you'd like to get your own set of these Bible study guides, you can go to BibleStudyOffer.com and click on the Free Request tab, and there you'll be able to secure those Bible studies, and we'll be happy to get those out to you as well. Today, we'll be studying lesson number 6 called Peace on Earth. It's a very interesting subject on something that is a great controversy in our nation, especially. Today, I'd like to welcome our guests. We have with us Pastor Jonathan Walter from the Grand Haven and Coopersville Seventh-day Adventist Churches. And also, we have Dakota Morgan again. She's becoming a regular on our program. Pastor Jonathan, would you tell us just a little bit about your churches there in Grand Haven?
Mm-hmm. We have a wonderful church in Grand Haven and in Coopersville, where we are worshiping every week together, and it's just a wonderful group of people that love the Lord and have a burden for the community in West Michigan to preach the gospel to the community and leading people to Christ by actions of kindness and by sharing the Bible with anyone who wants to know more about the Lord.
Wonderful. We're thankful you're here with us today. He's a good friend of mine. We worked together in a church for a little over a year, so I'm thankful to have him here with us. Friends, I want to refer you to our free offer today, and we always have a free offer on every program, but today is in the booklet is called America and the Ten Commandments. Can God's Law Save a Nation? And this book is free to you. It's our free gift to you. If you call our number, it is 231-468-2087. Again, that's 231-468-2087 to claim your free book, America and the Ten Commandments. Well, you call that number and we'll be glad to send that to you for free. Well, before we get into our study, we'd like to have an opening prayer. So I'm going to invite Dakota, if you would, to pray for us this morning.
Absolutely. Heavenly Father, we want to thank you for the opportunity to be here to study your word, to dig deeper into what you have to say to us today. In these end times, as we've studied previously, please be with us, give us clarity of mind, and open your word to us today. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
All right. As we get into our lesson, today's subject is actually on the Ten Commandments. And that's been a great issue of controversy in our country. You know, you have the Ten Commandment plaque that was removed and people placing Ten Commandment signs in their yards. And it's always seeming to be in the news. Various attacks and criticisms about posting those in public places. But what I think many Christians don't realize is that the Ten Commandments are more of an issue than just in this country. There's the whole great controversy, the war between good and evil is really about this subject, because we're going to find here that the Ten Commandments really reveal the character of God.
That's right.
And that's something that Satan doesn't want the world to know about.
No.
So we're going to get into our study here today, and we're going to see what God really expects from us in regards to the Ten Commandments and how just important it is as we're living in the last days of Earth's history. So let's dive into our lesson. Again, friends, we're on lesson number 6 of the It Is Written series. The title is Peace on Earth. So you have that study guide. You're welcome to join us. If not, just grab your Bibles and join in as we look up the text together. Our first question says, how can a person have real peace in today's troubled world? And the answer to that is in Psalm 119:165. Before we read that, of course, we know that Jesus is the author of peace, right?
Amen.
And there is no peace without him.
That's right.
But there's something else that the Bible talks about, and we're going to read that just now.
I love how simple it is, too. Psalm 119:165 says, great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them.
Wow.
How many, do you guys ever get offended?
Occasionally.
You know, it seems like our nation is full of offense, doesn't it?
And get on Facebook.
Yeah, right. That's right.
Better get off.
But God says that we can live a life without offense.
That's pretty powerful.
How does that... You know, how do you guys understand that?
No, I just love that scripture. I remember as a teenager, I would grow up and read Psalm 119, which is all about the law of God, and I couldn't relate and understand, what is David talking about here? How can the law be so beautiful, and how can he love the law? But when you see that the law is really the foundation of God's government, it is what gives us stability, what keeps things in the right order, and makes love possible, then suddenly the law becomes so beautiful. And so this stability is what gives us peace, because you need order to have peace. Without mm-hmm. order, there is anarchy, there is craziness. Mm-hmm. So it's just a beautiful description of one of the aspects of the law of God.
And the law of God is really just God's personality.
That's right.
It's just the person that he is.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And he lives by these principles.
Right.
And friends, again, when we talk about the law, we're not talking about the Mosaic law. We're talking about the Ten Commandments that God mm-hmm. wrote with his own finger. Well, let's keep going here. Number two says, how does the Bible describe God's saved people in the last days of Earth's history? Number two in our lesson, that comes from Revelation chapter 14 and verse 12.
Hmm. Revelation 14, verse 12 here tells us, here is the patience of the saints. Here are those who keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus.
All right. And even if you were to turn that around, here are the people with the faith of Jesus who are keeping the commandments of God, is really what it's saying. Because is it possible to actually keep the commandments of God without faith in Jesus?
No.
Well, you can have a kind of an outwardly keeping of the commandments. It looks like you are doing what God wants you to do. But if your heart is not in it, then you are not keeping the commandments according to what God expects from us. He wants us to love his law, to love him. And without loving him, and loving him is really what connects us with the faith of Jesus, we can't really fully keep the law of God. It's kind of like, you know, think of the Pharisees and Jesus. They were keeping the law of God outwardly, the letter of the law. But when it came to the principles, the spirit behind the law, they were not in tune with that at all. And that's what Jesus was really talking about when he was talking with them, you know?
So this text is obviously in the book of Revelation.
Yeah.
And most people, if they know any book in the Bible, they know the book of Revelation. And most people understand, and we believe this, mm-hmm. that it is a book that deals with the last days
that's
of Earth's
right.
history,
right?
Right? Yeah. So here we have a text saying that in the last days, in fact, it's in the book of Revelation 14, which follows chapter 13, which deals with the mark of the beast and those kind of things, which we'll actually talk about in our series as we can keep studying.
Exciting stuff.
Very exciting. So what this is saying is that there will be people in the last days of Earth's history, just before Jesus returns to the earth, that are actually still keeping the Ten Commandments.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
And why are they doing that? Because they have faith in Jesus.
That's
they love Jesus.
That's right.
Now, the Bible talks a lot about faith in Jesus, but this text actually says that these people will have the faith of Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
What's the difference?
That's a good question. You know, faith in Jesus, a lot of people think that's just believing that he exists and so on. But you think about it, Jesus, when he lived here on earth, he lived as an example for us. He had utter faithfulness to the Father. You know, he would do his will, and he was always faithful. You know, he always prayed, not my will, but thy will be done. And so the faith of Jesus is a complete surrender to God. It is complete trust in the Father, empowered by the Holy Spirit. And that is what God wants to reproduce in our lives as well, which is a miracle.
Beautiful.
So is Jesus able to keep the commandments of God because he used his divine power to do that?
That's a good question as well. The way I understand it is that Jesus, he said, I can do no thing on my own, right? Mm-hmm. Now, technically he could. He is God. But he chose to live like us and relying only on the things that are also available for us, which is faith and the Holy Spirit. So asking or believing in God, trusting in him completely, that's what Jesus did as an example for us as well. So he was faithful and victorious through the same means that are also given to us.
So he used the same resources that are available to us today.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Faith in God, trust in God, claiming the promises and the word of God, prayer, and submission of his will.
Right. That's why he spent all night in prayer. You would think, why would he have to? But he chose to live like we can live.
Now, obviously, you know, as a new Christian or as a new person, we don't have the faith that Jesus had, that we grow in that, right?
Mm-hmm. It's a growth process.
But day by day, as we put our faith in Jesus, we are developing the faith of Jesus.
That's right.
And we can rely more and more on the Father. Yeah.
It's a walk with him. That's wonderful.
It's a walk. It's a growth. Well, some people may not even be familiar with what the Ten Commandments are. So our next question number three in our lesson says, what are the Ten Commandments?
Right.
That's found in Exodus 20, verse 2 through 17. We're not going to read all those verses. Our listeners, we want to encourage you to go and read those in the full version for yourself. But we are going to give a condensed version here. So we're going to read those just now.
Yeah, let's go through this real quick here. The Ten Commandments in Exodus 20, 2 through 17.
We would just call the number out as well.
Right. The first commandment here says, "You shall have no other gods before me." Second commandment says, "You shall not make yourself a carved image. You shall not bow down to them nor serve them." The third commandment says, "You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain." The fourth commandment talks about here the Sabbath. It says, "Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. The seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord your God." The fifth commandment, "Honor your father and your mother." And then the sixth commandment, "You shall not murder." The seventh, "You shall not commit adultery." The eighth commandment, "You shall not steal." The ninth commandment, "You shall not bear false witness." And the tenth commandment, "You shall not covet."
All right. So those are, you know, just a wonderful list of principles of truth. Mm-hmm. And, mm-hmm. you know, a lot of people can sometimes think to themselves, well, this just seems like a list of don'ts.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Don't do this.
Right.
Don't do that. And then people can get the mindset that the Christian life is restrictive.
Mm-hmm.
What would you say to that?
I would say a lot of the time in our generation, especially today, everybody's looking for an identity. We're all trying to figure out who we are. Find myself. I need to leave and go travel and find myself. But what I love about the Bible and what I love about faith in Jesus, the faith of Jesus, like Pastor Jonathan was talking about, is that it's so beautiful how he gives us an identity and how living by these principles give us this identity. Like it said in Psalms, that we will not be offended if we are grounded in who we are.
Mm-hmm,
I think that's beautiful.
I also think about how, you know, when it says, you know, this generation, many people today, they're all about being. I don't want to be restrained. I want to be something, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so when you really, when you look at the deeper aspect of the Ten Commandments, mm-hmm. it's really about being.
Mm-hmm.
You know, for instance, you know, number five, honor your father and mother.
Mm-hmm.
You're being an honorable person.
Mm-hmm.
You shall not commit adultery.
Mm-hmm.
Really what it's saying is you're being faithful.
That's right.
Right. Yeah.
Do not steal. Really you're being, you know,
honest. Yeah.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Don't lie.
Right.
Don't bear false witness. You're being truthful. Don't covet. You're being satisfied.
Content.
Mm-hmm. Being content
mm-hmm.
with what you have.
That's
so
right.
Really, the Ten Commandments are about being something.
Mm-hmm.
They're not about
right.
not being
right.
something.
They really are all about being what God intended us to be.
Mm-hmm.
And you think about it, it's just when you think about what it would look like if you lived the Ten Commandments,
mm-hmm.
empowered by the Holy Spirit, mm-hmm. obviously, it is a beautiful picture of peace. And that's, I think, what the lesson, you know,
right.
It's called Peace on Earth.
Yeah.
It's just a wonderful way to live life.
Yeah, imagine if everybody in the world stopped murdering, started honoring their parents, stopped committing adultery, having
right.
affairs, didn't lie. I mean,
it would be a wonderful
world,
place.
It'd be transformed.
Mm-hmm.
And I also find that the Ten Commandments are really the manifestation or the revealing of God's character.
Mm-hmm.
But God himself is all these things.
Yes, absolutely.
God is faithful. God is honest.
Mm-hmm.
God is truthful.
Mm-hmm.
And so really there are 10 promises also to us
right.
who love this message.
That's
that
right.
God promises these things to us.
Mm-hmm.
And he also promises to dwell in us. And as he does so,
mm-hmm.
these principles will come out. I mean, there's no person on earth that doesn't want these principles in their life. They
right.
want a faithful spouse.
Mm-hmm.
They want to be happy. They want to be content.
Right.
So really, this is a beautiful formula for life. And we're
mm-hmm.
just living, when we live by these things, we're just living as God created us to live.
Exactly.
Right.
Exactly.
They're natural for us.
Yeah. Go ahead.
Because he created us in his image, so it would make sense that the manifestation of his character
mm-hmm.
would lead us into a life of perfect peace.
Right, right. Exactly. You know, you think about it, the Ten Commandments can be summarized with two things. It's loving God and
mm-hmm.
loving others. The
exactly.
first four commandments are about our relationship with God, and the remaining commandments are about our relationship with others. And so
That's right.
the Ten Commandments really are all about love.
That's right.
And love as defined by God. So it's just a beautiful thing that we have.
Yeah, it was Jesus that said in Matthew 22,
mm-hmm.
the two great commandments,
mm-hmm.
love
right.
God with all your heart.
Exactly.
Your neighbor is yourself. And then he says, on these two hang all the law
yeah.
right.
and the prophets.
It's all about love.
So it's about love.
Mm-hmm.
And those two great commandments are really just a summary of the 10.
Mm-hmm.
It's all encompassing.
That's
yeah.
right.
Mm-hmm.
And they cannot be carried out in our lives without love.
The universe, what keeps the universe together, you know, is love. And that is God's character. It is everything. And so the Ten Commandments are really just a revelation of love in the context of a sinful world. Mm-hmm. You know, it's because we are in this rebellious state that God has to show us what true love really is.
That's right. Mm-hmm. It's because of the selfishness of our own sinful hearts that we would begin to think these may be restrictive, when in reality, they provide the greatest freedom.
Greatest freedom.
In our lives.
Absolutely.
Well, let's keep moving here. Question number four. Mm-hmm. It's a good question. It says, did the Ten Commandments exist before God wrote them on the tables of stone on Mount Sinai? So some people think that God gave the Ten Commandments, you know, just to the Jewish nation.
Right.
But were there these commandments existing, even though they may not have been written by God at that point? Mm-hmm. Did they exist before that?
Mm.
And the answer to that is in Genesis chapter 26, through the life of Abraham.
Like Adam and Eve, we're going to see kept the commandments, but they weren't defined as part of the Jewish nation yet.
They were just people. They were not Jews. They were not Israelites.
So that's what we're illustrating here. Yeah.
Correct.
So Genesis 26:5 says, because that Abraham obeyed my voice and kept my charge, my commandments, my statutes, and my laws.
Mm. All right. So God is declaring that Abraham kept his commandments.
Right.
That's right.
And God would have shared them with him personally.
Mm-hmm.
All right, let's do one more here before our break. Mm-hmm. Number five in our lesson says, how does the Bible define sin?
Right. Mm-hmm.
So we often talk about sin, but exactly what is sin?
Yeah.
What is it?
Well, 1 John chapter 3, verse 4 gives us the answer. 1 John 3, verse 4, it says, whoever commits sin also commits lawlessness, and sin is lawlessness, or how the King James Version puts it, it is the transgression of the law. So sin is breaking the law.
So I love how the King James actually puts that. I think that's the very best, the clearest description. It says transgression of the law, which means basically that sin is a violation of the character of God. Sin is an action that is contrary to God's character.
Contrary to love.
That's right. And so that's the best definition we can give of sin. And so, you know, as a Christian, obviously, that's not the actions we want to be taking, right?
Right.
That's not
right.
the behavior we want to have. And so, by the grace of God, we want to be sin-free.
Right.
And Christ sets us free from that sin.
Amen.
Well, friends, we're going to take a break, and we'll be right back in just a moment. We're going to continue this exciting study on the Ten Commandments and the character of God. We'll be right back.
What's the best gift you have ever given someone? The one that was most appreciated. Maybe you bought your 16-year-old a car, or perhaps you took a homeless family in until they got back on their feet. Maybe you gave flowers to someone special at just the perfect time. There is one gift that will top every other gift you could possibly give, and that is a gift of pointing someone to Jesus. If they accept that gift, it will literally last forever. One fantastic way to give the gift of Jesus is through Strong Tower Radio. You can help us give the gift of Jesus by your prayers and financial support. So won't you go to our secure website, www.strongtowerradio.org, click on the donate button, and become a covenant partner with Strong Tower Radio. That will help give the gift of Jesus. Strong Tower Radio, where God's character is proclaimed.
Welcome back, friends, to the Open Word, and we're back again from our break. And I just want to remind you that we're on lesson number 6 of our It Is Written study series. The title of the lesson is Peace on Earth, and we're talking about the Ten Commandments and the character of God. Again, you can get those free study guides by going to BibleStudyOffer.com, clicking on that free request, and we'll get those out to you. Also, we want to recommend to you our free gift today, a little booklet called America and the Ten Commandments. And we'll send that to you for free if you'll just call the number 231-468-2087. Again, that's 231-468-2087. And we'll send that book to you for free. Again, if you're joining us, I'm in the studio here today with my guests, Pastor Jonathan Walter and Dakota Morgan. And we're going to continue in our lesson today. But before we do that, we just wanted to give you a few facts about the Ten Commandments that some people may not be familiar with. Many times people wonder, well, how did the Ten Commandments even get? Were they written by man?
Right.
Well, actually, the Bible says in Exodus 31, 18, I'm not reading the text, I'm just giving you the reference here, but it says that God wrote the Ten Commandments with his own finger.
That's pretty powerful.
And that's one of the few times in the Bible that God wrote anything himself, but he did write the Ten Commandments on stone.
Right.
In fact, he did it twice, because Moses broke the first set and he took a stone up and God wrote it again. So, what are some other facts that we find about the Ten Commandments?
You know, the fact that God wrote them with his own finger, it reminds me of school when I would write an exam, I would, you know, make mistakes and stuff. But God doesn't make mistakes. So in Psalm 19, verse 7, it says the Bible here, he calls God's law perfect. Mm-hmm. So there's no mistakes. There's nothing that's not cohesive. It's just perfect.
Mm-hmm. Notice it says the law of God is perfect, not the law of Moses, right? I mean, which the law of Moses was perfect as well. But many times people want to say, well, the Ten Commandments are no longer relevant. That we did just throw them out.
Mm.
But if something's perfect, there's no need to change it.
Right.
Mm-hmm. There's no need to get rid of it.
Exactly. And that comes to our next point. Psalm 111, verses 7 and 8, summarize, they say that the Ten Commandments are eternal.
Mm-hmm.
They're never ending. And like you said, if something is perfect, why do away with it? Why change it?
That's right. And the nature of God himself is eternal. If the Ten Commandments are an expression of his character and his personality, then it also has to be eternal, naturally, by default.
Right.
So you can't get rid of God, and you can't. No one's going to try to change God's personality.
You really can't get rid of anything that God does or is. I mean, if you try to get rid of something that he has done, then you're trying to get rid of him.
That's right.
And he's God. He's above everything. So.
And we find that there is somebody in the scripture that tries to do that, right?
That's right.
That's the enemy. He wants to stomp out thought of God. What else do we find? Well, some people, again, they don't always understand the difference between the law of Moses and the law of God.
That's right.
But in the Bible, there's several verses, Psalm 111, verse 7 and 8, Psalm 119, 89, Romans 3, 31, that there is a distinct difference between the law of Moses and the law of God. And even in the sanctuary, the Ten Commandments were written on two tables of stone.
Mm-hmm.
And in the inner part of the sanctuary, there was the Ark of the Covenant, where the presence of God was. Mm-hmm. And those Ten Commandments were placed inside the Ark of the Covenant, inside the box.
Right.
So sometimes I say the box that contained the rocks, right?
Yep.
But then the law of Moses was written in a book, handwritten by Moses, and placed in the side of the Ark of the Covenant.
Mm-hmm.
So it was not in the Ark, it was beside it.
Mm-hmm.
And Deuteronomy chapter 31 actually talks about that. So you can look that up and read that for yourself.
Mm.
But that's the difference. And so we're talking about two different laws, and I think sometimes people try to put them together, but really they're different.
Right. Yeah, I really got to differentiate there. But what I love about it is that the Ten Commandments are not an Old Testament thing or an Old Covenant thing.
That's
they are always there. Mm-hmm. And so if you look in the book of Hebrews, which is a book in the New Testament, in chapter 8, verse 10, and chapter 10, verse 16, it shows how the Ten Commandments, the law of God, they're part of the New Covenant as well. So they really are always present. It's just really beautiful, as we're going to see here in a moment as we go to our next question.
In the Old Testament, they're written on stone. In the New Testament, they're written in the heart, the Old and New Covenant. All right, number 6 in our lesson guide says, what does the New Testament say about the Ten Commandments? So we've talked a little bit about the Old Testament, but what about the New Testament? Romans chapter 7 and verse 12 will give us a clue about how Paul, the apostle, viewed the Ten Commandments.
And I love how short and succinct he is with it, like, this is how it is. It says, wherefore the law is holy and the commandment holy and just and good.
Mm, beautiful.
Wow. So those three characteristics about the Ten Commandments that Paul says, he calls it holy. He says that twice. And he says it is just and it is good. Very similar to what the psalmist wrote, right? We were reading some of those earlier.
And isn't it exactly what God is? He is holy,
he is
just, and he is good.
That is his character.
Exactly.
And so the nature of the Ten Commandments, just like God, are timeless. They're eternal. They're never fading, never changing, always the same.
And you know, I'm so thankful for that. You think about it, as you were reading earlier, Dakota, they're eternal, and you just mentioned it. God doesn't change. And you know, everyone is always about change. And when you think about it, there's nothing in this world that is
consistent.
Nothing is stable. Mm-hmm. You can never trust anything 100% outside of God.
Mm-hmm.
So God is not this being who is just going by his passions and I'm going to change my mind here and there. No, he is totally perfect. He's stable. He is what the Bible calls the rock. upon, you know, and I think that's why he wrote it into rock, into stone, to make sure that we understand he is the foundation, that he gives us that stability. And the Ten Commandments are just a reflection of that. So I'm so thankful that we have God who we can trust in yesterday, today, and tomorrow. He will not change. His promises stay true all the time.
The word of God, the commandments of God, and the character of God.
Amen.
Beautiful thing.
That's praise God.
All right, we're going to keep going.
Yeah.
Lesson number 7 on our question says, were the Ten Commandments given to be a burden for God's people? You know, some people say if you keep the Ten Commandments, you're under bondage. And I've heard even many pastors preach that very same message.
It's just a bunch of rules.
Yeah, that it's just a bunch of rules.
So sad.
But we've seen that they are principles for life that, that guide us, that protect us, that direct us. But let's just see what the Bible says. John is so direct. I mean, friends, you can't get any clearer than this. This
That's
is New Testament, New Covenant. 1 John chapter 5 and verse 3.
Yeah.
This is what it says.
It says here, "For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome."
They're not burdensome. Now, you know, I often use this illustration, but, you know, my wife often needs my help around the house, you know, and I need her help, and we help each other, and we, you know, we take care of each other. But there's two things that I don't enjoy doing. And the two things are washing the dishes and giving the children baths. Now, I love my children, but every time I seem to give my children baths, I get soaked and wet, and I don't like getting wet. And I remember one time my son, he asked me if he could use the spray nozzle. And I said, sure. And
that's trouble.
I got soap in his eyes and he kind of went crazy. And I was in my suit because I was coming home from a meeting, and I actually had to go back to another meeting. And when the soap got in his eyes, he kind of lost it, and he just sprayed me and soaked me with the sprayer. And so I'm standing soaking wet in the suit. That's one of the reasons I don't like giving the children baths, right?
Right.
But, you know, when I hear my wife say, "I need your help," and I need you to do this specific thing, this is the thing that will help me the most. And that is either do the dishes or give the children a bath.
Yeah.
Even though I naturally don't want to do that, because of love, I'm willing to do it.
Right.
And when I do it, it's not a burden when it's done in love.
That's right.
And everybody's lives are more peaceful, probably.
And everybody's life is more peaceful. It's exactly right.
That's right.
And so, you know, naturally, our carnal hearts are not inclined to keep the Ten Commandments. We're not inclined to be faithful and honest and true. But as the love of God abides in us, the love of God becomes the power and the ability and the motivation in which, through Christ dwelling in me, the Ten Commandments can be done without being a burden.
Exactly.
And I think often, as humans, we tend to overcomplicate everything. We try and overcomplicate, and these commandments are so simple. There's 10 of them, and yet we have hundreds of laws in our legal system. But really, if we all abided by just these 10 commandments, everything would be so much simpler.
That's right. You know, every nation has laws.
Right.
And nobody says, oh, you know, we shouldn't have these laws.
Right.
Well, why would it be any different for God's government to have some type of principles to live by?
And the nations, you know, they enforce the law by, you know, scaring people into keeping it. Yeah, if you don't, this is going to happen. But God is like, he doesn't want us to keep the law because we're scared. Right. He wants us to keep the law because we love him. You know, it's all based on love for him. This gives us perfect stability in life. It gives us peace in our hearts. And he doesn't just tell us what to do. He empowers us to do it, which we're going to see later on.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. I want to point us to another verse that's just outside of our lesson, but I think is very, very pointed here. A couple of scriptures. It's 1 John chapter 2. We were just in 1 John chapter 5, just turning over to chapter 2 there. Chapter 2, verse 3, and he says this, "Now by this we know that we know him if we keep his commandments." And so what does that mean? It means that as we keep the commandments, again, through the power of God, not our own strength, but looking to Jesus, then we know him because his character is revealed to us through these commandments.
So it's an indication of a relationship.
It's an indication of a relationship. And it's the relationship that produces the obedience. Not the obedience that produces the relationship.
I mean, if I have a friendship, or if I build a friendship with you and we get to know each other, as it says here, knowing, and you tell me, you know, I love Thai food or whatever it is. I'm not, you know, if I want to treat you and take you out to eat or something, you know, I'm going to take you to Thai food because that's what you like.
Right.
So because I know you, I'll naturally want to do what, in you know, what you enjoy. And who knows, maybe I'll start liking it too. So
yeah, that's right. Exactly.
That's how it is with God too.
It's a relationship.
Yeah.
And that produces that obedience.
That's right.
So verse 4, it says, he who says, I know him and does not keep his commandments is a liar and the truth is not in him. That's not to be harsh, but it's to say that when you know God, God's the natural result of Christ living in us, it will be bearing the fruit of keeping his commandments.
Because
as Christ dwells within, it cannot be anything other than his character beginning to be revealed to us.
There must be harmony.
There must be harmony. Then he says in verse 5, but whoever keeps his word, truly the love of God is perfected in him.
Wow.
See, that's power. It's just
that's amazing.
It's exactly what we're saying here. By this we know that we are in him. He who says he abides in him ought himself to walk also as he walked. And so there is no power in ourselves to walk as Jesus walked, except as he dwells in us and walks this life through
us.
Let's keep going here. Question number 8 says, how do the Ten Commandments provide guidance to believers? How does it help me? What does it do for me? And Romans chapter 7 and verse 7, it gives us the answer here.
Yeah, I love how Paul illustrates this. He says, what shall we say then? Is the law sin? God forbid. Nay, I had known sin, but by the law. For I had not known lust, except the law had said, you shall not covet.
So what then is the commandments doing in my life? When I look at the Ten Commandments, and then I look at my life, what is it revealing?
It shows us the true state of where we are, of who we are. It reveals to us our complete sinfulness. It shows us our sins. And that's, of course, not a pleasant experience. And that's why people are scared of the law, because they're like, oh, wow, it's going to show me how messed up I am. But there's so much beauty in that, because it helps us to realize there's nothing good in us that we can in any way pay for our own salvation. It just points us to Jesus eventually. It's showing us, hey, your life is messed up because of sin, but Jesus is the solution. So don't trust in yourself. Trust in Christ alone. And he will take care of things. He will forgive your sins. He will cleanse you from all unrighteousness. And then he'll empower you to be in harmony with him through Christ in you, the hope of glory. So it's just a beautiful thing. The law shows us. It's like the doctor. You go to the doctor, you want him to tell you if there's something wrong with you, right? He's going to point out, hey, there's an issue here. You're not going to be like, don't tell me that something's wrong with me because I don't want to know. You want to know because you want it to be dealt with. And so the law points out the issue that needs to be dealt with. And then Jesus provides the cure of that disease or whatever it is, right? So Jesus provides not only a revelation of our sin, he also reveals the cure and gives it to us if we let him.
So many times we like to, I know we all do it, but we tend to, instead of looking at God's law because it's uncomfortable, we'll look at ourselves or other people. And when we look at other people, we may say, we may see some guy on the news that, you know, murdered three people. And we say, well, I'm not like that guy. I'm doing pretty good. You know, I might tell a lie here or there or whatever.
We try to justify ourselves.
Yeah. And so it's only then by looking at God, his commandments, that I begin to see that I am a sinner. I have fallen short. And some people say, well, I've only broken one commandment. Well, the book of James says if you've broken one, you've broken all of them.
That's right.
So it's only as I begin to see myself in the context of the righteousness of Christ that I see my shortcoming. And then I recognize the need that I have to be like him. And that's when the Holy Spirit begins to convict me. So the Holy Spirit comes and he convicts me of the sin. And no matter which direction I turn, I can't get away from it, except as I turn to Jesus. Now, one other thing that sometimes people will say is that, well, you know, I don't need to look at the law. I just look to Jesus. And that sounds so wonderful and spiritual and godly. But the reality is that when we look at Christ, are we going to see anything different than we see in the Ten Commandments?
No. He wrote them, so of course not.
He wrote them, and when he came, he lived his life by them. He said, I have kept my Father's commandments in John 15. So when we look to Christ, we're still going to see those standards and those principles played out in his life. And so it's not that, you know, it's kind of like my kids. You know, sometimes my son will want to do something. he'll come to me and I'll say no. So what does he do?
Goes to his mom.
He goes to mom and he wants her to say yes.
Right.
And sometimes we look at the Ten Commandments and we say, whew, I can't live up to that. Let me just look to Jesus so I don't have to. Well, Jesus didn't keep the Ten Commandments so we don't have to.
No.
He did it to show us how it can be done.
Right.
By looking to God for the strength.
That's right.
And by letting him live within us. So
that's the gospel.
Christ is going to tell us the same thing that the Ten Commandments do. The difference is the Ten Commandments cannot cleanse us,
right?
But Christ can.
Exactly.
Yep. Christ can. Yep. All right. Anything you guys want to add to that?
No, I think you said it all. I mean, the commandments point out the issue and they point us to the cure. They're not the cure themselves.
Right.
But then Jesus cures us and then we are in harmony. We can live in harmony with the commandments.
The Ten Commandments will declare the righteousness of God.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But it cannot give us the righteousness
That's
of
right.
God.
Only Jesus.
Only Jesus can do that.
Yeah. So often we try and live the commandments and be a good person, right? Mm-hmm. So many people are like, well, I don't need to keep the commandments because I'm a good person. But ultimately, those are what are showing us that we're living in violation of his righteousness. They're not going to make us clean.
That's right.
He's the one that's going to make us clean by dwelling in us.
So it is necessary that a Christian of the new covenant understands the Ten Commandments and believes them. Because as we look to them, it helps us sense our need of Jesus.
That's right.
It shows us that we're not a good person.
Right.
But Jesus is good.
And it makes us cling to him.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
He is good and he can make us
Praise
good
God.
As he lives within us.
Mm-hmm.
Well, friends, we're going to take a break again, but we'll be back in just a moment to wrap up our last segment for today. And we encourage you to stand by as we break, but we'll be right back.
Jesus is coming and people need to know. I'm JB, one of the many volunteers here at Strong Tower Radio. Won't you join my wife and I, along with many others, and become a covenant partner with Jesus through Strong Tower Radio? Just go to www.strongtowerradio.org, click on that donate button, and become a covenant partner to make that regular monthly tax-deductible gift. Thank you for your prayers and financial support of Strong Tower Radio, where God's character is proclaimed.
All right, friends, welcome back to the Open Word. We're back from our break now. We're on lesson number 6 of the It Is Written series. The title of the lesson is Peace on Earth. And again, if you'd like to get those lessons for yourself, you can go to BibleStudyOffer.com, click on the free request tab, and we'll be glad to get those to you.
Mm.
And then you can follow along with us as we go through the program. We also have our free offer today, our gift to you, a little booklet called America and the Ten Commandments. And all you have to do to get yours is call our number, 231-468-2087. All right, I'm back here again with Pastor Walter and Dakota, and we've had a great conversation so far.
Absolutely.
A great study, I should say. We're studying the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
We're not just talking about it. That's what I love about this program, the open word. We're studying God's word together, and we're in our lesson pretty deeply here.
Yeah.
So if you're joining us, you'll want to listen again for the repeat. But we're on question number 9. It says, were the Ten Commandments ever abolished? And a lot of Christians today, you know, I've heard preachers say, Ten Commandments are done away with. When Jesus died on the cross, he nailed them to the cross. But we want to see, did Jesus really nail the Ten Commandments to the cross? Or was it something else? Well, let's see what Paul says in Romans chapter 3, verse 31. This, of course, is after, well after, the cross of Christ.
Yes. Yeah, Paul says here, do we then make void the law through faith? Certainly not. On the contrary, we establish the law.
Mm.
All right. So is faith an important element of the Christian life?
Oh, absolutely.
Of course. Of course. I mean, it's the bridge to our salvation, right?
Right.
But Paul says faith does not do away with the Ten Commandments.
No.
Of course, in our last segment, we said that the commandments reveal sin to us, right?
Right.
So Satan would love for us to reach the place where sin is not revealed to us. Then we'll be hopelessly lost.
Right. Right.
But God says that when we exercise faith, we're going to look into that law, into the character of God, into the heart of Christ,
right.
and we're going to see our shortcoming.
Right.
But we won't be discouraged by it because we'll recognize that he is the one who does that in us.
That's right.
And we can allow that to do him.
That actually, him to do actually that. In love, Christ is showing us our brokenness.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
And then he reveals how he can heal us.
Right, exactly.
But before the healing can come, it's necessary for me to understand that I'm broken. Mm-hmm. And that's what the Ten Commandments do.
What's so beautiful about this is that, as Paul says, faith is not making it void at all. Faith establishes it. How does this happen? By faith in Jesus, as we saw in the beginning of our program, Christ lives in us and establishes or builds in us the faith of Jesus. And how did Jesus live? Well, he lived in perfect harmony with the law, with himself, with the Father. And so he will reproduce that in our lives if we let him.
Mm-hmm.
It's a beautiful circle, really, of how the law is being established through our lives by faith in Christ and through his power alone.
So what was it then that was nailed to the cross?
Oh, that's a good question.
Because in Ephesians 2 and Colossians
mm-hmm.
2,
mm-hmm.
it says that there was the law contained in ordinances. He's taken out of the way.
Right,
he's nailed it to the cross. What was that law then if it wasn't the Ten Commandments?
But it was talking about the different ordinances and regulations connected to the sanctuary system of the Jewish nation, which was just an object lesson to teach the Jewish people about the Messiah, about Christ and how he deals with sin and salvation. And so when this object lesson became obsolete once Christ appeared,
mm-hmm.
But even in that object lesson, the Jewish people, they were putting their faith in the coming Messiah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so when Jesus came, it's kind of like when you have a 3D model or, you know, when you build a house, you have a little 3D model of mm-hmm. your house before they build it from the architect. And then when they build the house, you don't need the model anymore.
Right.
So that these regulations were a nail to the cross, quote unquote, because they became obsolete, because they were just pointing to Christ. And now Christ is here. So we don't need those regulations anymore.
So Christ fulfilled that law. So when it says that the law contained in ordinances was nailed to the cross, it's mm-hmm. talking about the law of Moses,
right.
the
mm-hmm.
sacrificial system. And when it says it was nailed to the cross, they didn't take the actual book of Moses and nail it.
No.
But the thing that was nailed to the cross was Jesus.
Exactly.
Right.
And he was the fulfillment of that.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And so no longer did they need to sacrifice the lambs.
Mm-hmm.
But
right.
that is something very separate and distinct mm-hmm. from the Ten Commandments.
Exactly.
So, you know, would you rather have a Matchbox or Hot Wheels Corvette? Or would you rather have the real Corvette,
deal.
Right?
Yep.
Jesus
yep.
is the real deal,
mm-hmm.
and it was not necessary for those anymore. But the Ten Commandments are eternal. They're
right.
a new
exactly.
covenant. They're a new covenant item, and the Ten Commandments are eternal. So mm-hmm. it's Jesus didn't do away with that. In fact, our next question tells us that Jesus says with his own lips
mm-hmm.
that the Ten Commandments were not done away with.
Mm-hmm.
Number 10 in our lesson, did Jesus ever suggest the Ten Commandments would one day become obsolete? This is New Testament, New Covenant, Gospel, Jesus speaking himself, Matthew 5, 17 and 18.
Right. Letters are in red, so we know he's talking. It
That's
says,
right.
Think not that I am come to destroy the law or the prophets. I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill. For verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass, one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law till all be fulfilled.
And obviously, the earth is still here, right?
We're still on earth,
and
yes.
And so he's referring to the Ten Commandments. In fact, later in that chapter,
mm-hmm.
he talks directly about adultery and
mm-hmm.
other pieces of the Ten Commandments.
Anger.
So
yep.
anger.
Right. Yep.
So basically, you find that, you know, man broke the law.
Mm-hmm.
God wrote it on stones to express his character
mm-hmm.
for the Old Testament. Jesus' life came to express it in person.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, Isaiah talks about Jesus coming and it says he came to magnify the law. Now, we don't want to magnify the law over Christ,
no.
but we want to magnify the law within Christ.
Mm-hmm.
And Christ
mm-hmm.
is the one that's exalted. And then Jesus spoke the law again. You know, he spoke it on Mount Sinai, but then he spoke it on the Sermon on the Mount in
right.
Matthew
yep.
chapter 4 and 5. And then Jesus himself was the embodiment of the law.
That's right.
And, you know, when he came to be among us and live among us,
mm-hmm.
he's living those principles out in his life and showing us
right.
that by his power, we can do the same.
When you think about it, the law, what does the law reveal? It reveals what is right and wrong. It reveals
mm-hmm.
right doing. It reveals righteousness. Because righteousness is harmony with God, and Jesus lived that. And so he is our righteousness as we put our trust in him, and he will put his righteousness into our lives so that we can be in harmony with God and the universe.
Absolutely.
It's just beautiful.
Very powerful. So let's talk about a little bit now the new covenant. Our next question in our lesson, number 11 says, are the Ten Commandments necessary under the new covenant? Well, I think we know the answer to that.
Right.
But
I think it's
pretty, let's read it here. Hebrews chapter
Hebrews 8, verse 10. It's very beautiful scripture. It says here, for this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord. I will put my laws in their minds and write them on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people.
All right, so I don't think any person would disagree that this is the new covenant, right? And when he talks about the house of Israel, Paul says in the book of Galatians that if you are Christ, you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise.
Right.
So he's talking to people who are in Christ here.
Right.
Who are considered spiritual Israel, and he says, I will put my laws in their mind and write them on their hearts. So, in the old covenant, he wrote them on stones, and the new covenant, he's writing them on the heart of flesh,
right?
And in the mind, because in the mind, because he wants us to know them, and the heart, because he wants us to love them.
That's right.
And to do them.
Right. So, it's a very powerful. So, what was the problem with the old covenant? Was the problem the Ten Commandments, because obviously there was some problem with the Old Covenant, which led to the New Covenant, right?
Right. In reality, the covenants aren't really so much different. It's the application on our side of the covenant. The covenant is just a relationship agreement.
That's right.
And so what we refer to as the Old Covenant is the understanding where I try to keep the commandments in my own strength. The people of Israel were saying, you know, we will do whatever God says. But they didn't realize that they need to rely on Him to be able to anything, right? We can't do anything in our own strength.
Right.
Our righteousness is but filthy rags. So the new covenant means we trust in God to be able to be in harmony with Him because Christ wants to live in us. The old covenant means we are trusting in ourselves, which is gonna be useless.
And that's why Israel fell over and over and over again, because they were trying to do it in their own strength.
That's right. So in the first verses before verse 10 in Hebrews chapter 8, verse 7, it says, if that first covenant had been faultless, then no place would have been sought for a second, which is what we were just saying. But where was the fault? Because finding fault with them, he says.
Yes.
So what was the fault with them? God gave them the Ten Commandments and they said, all that you have said,
we will do
and be obedient. Rather than saying, Lord, we can't do this unless you dwell within us. And that was God's desire, was for them to recognize that they needed Him in their lives. And they needed that relationship.
And that's really beautiful, because that's what the New Testament and Paul brings out, as we're going to see in the next couple of verses here as I look ahead. The promise of God to fulfill the promise of the new covenant, to write the law into our hearts and minds, is just an incredible experience. And He wants every Christian, every human being, to have that experience. It is the experience of ultimate freedom and peace and joy and salvation. It's the gospel experience.
That's right. And so the Ten Commandments are really part of the gospel. It doesn't save us, but it points us to the Savior,
right?
And it's necessary. All right, well, let's keep going here. Really, the new covenant is the old covenant renewed, based upon not our promises, but God's promises.
Right.
And, you know, many times I think we can see many Christians who are still living in an old covenant experience because they're trying to live God's ways in their own strength, and it cannot be done.
It's easy to fall into those habits,
It's easy to do that.
And it's part of our nature. A sinful nature wants to, I'm independent, I can do this. And we, you know, we have this attitude, we can do this, you know. But we feel like we are going to humiliate ourselves if we surrender and let someone else be in charge. But it's actually the best experience of freedom when we give Him control and say, hey, God, you do this miracle in me because I can't do it. It's the most freeing experience to just surrender to God completely.
And the alternative of clinging to ourself is going to be death.
That's just death. That's right.
And it's a very sad
cling to
thing.
Him.
Cling to Christ.
That's right.
Number 12 here in our lesson says, how can a person keep the Ten Commandments? We've talked a little bit about it, but let's get
now
right
to
our text.
Now we're getting to the meat of it. This is it.
Right.
Galatians 2, verse 20. Galatians 2:20.
Paul says here, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me.
Mm. You know, some people say that, you know, it's unnatural. It's impossible for us to keep the commandments.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But it was also impossible for Peter to walk on water.
Mm-hmm. Right.
It was natural and it was impossible.
Right.
But when Peter trusted and believed in the word of God to do what it said in him.
Mm-hmm.
He was walking on water as he was looking at Christ. And so it was only when his eyes were removed from Christ that he began to sink.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And as unnatural and impossible it is for us to keep the Ten Commandments in our strength, as we trust and abide in Christ and his word to do what it says in our lives, it will not be an impossibility.
Right.
It will become possible.
And what is incredible about this, that it's not just that we have to make this decision to have faith in Christ. God gives even more blessing in that whole experience. As it says in our next verse here in Philippians 2:13, it says, "For it is God who works in you both to will and to do for his good pleasure." Mm-hmm. So in other words, God's going to give you the desire to be a faithful, and he's going to give you the power to be faithful. Because it is him being faithful in you.
He's walking in us.
It's incredible.
As we abide in him.
Mm-hmm.
I find this text, 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 16. It says, "What agreement has the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them. I will be their God and they shall be my people."
Praise God.
So that's the key.
Yes.
We're going go on to number 13 here. It says, our question is, are people saved by keeping the commandments? So I think we've said that, but we want to be clear about it. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 and 9.
Mm-hmm. We've been over this verse in a few previous studies too, it's still relevant and it's still beautiful.
That's the truth.
Very powerful.
Yes. It says, Ephesians 2, 8 and 9 says, "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast."
But I want you to read that next verse also, verse 10.
Verse 10. "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God has before ordained that we should walk in them."
Wow.
So we're saved by grace through faith in Christ.
Mm-hmm.
Not a single thing we can ever do to earn it or obtain it on our own.
There's a temptation to say, oh, I'm not going to keep the commandments because I'm trying to pay for salvation in my own strength. That's not true. Whatever you do, there's no merit in that. But a saved person keeps the commandments. We don't keep the commandments to be saved, but because I'm saved,
I keep the commandments.
Because we are saved. Yes, we are saved. So it's a beautiful thing. There's no merit in my own work, but God prepares works for me to walk in them. It's him working in me, walking in those.
I'm trusting in the merits of Christ's works, his sacrifice on the cross, and his righteous life.
That's right.
And so that saving relationship comes free.
Right.
But then the result or the fruit of that, the natural response to that, is obedience.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, when we invite Christ into the life, the Bible says in Hebrews, Christ is not a minister of sin. So as he lives in us, he's not going to be leading us to do sinful things.
Right. That's right.
Now, sometimes people may say, well, man, I'm discouraged. I'm frustrated. Like, you know, I'm not sure that I can do this. And I've fallen many times, and we do. But that leads us to question 14. What should a person do when they break the commandments of God? So naturally, that's going to happen when our eyes are taken off Christ.
In 1 John 2, verse 1, and find a beautiful answer to that. It says here, "My little children, these things are right to you so that you may not sin. And if anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous." And if you go to 1 John 1 verse 9, just a couple of verses up, it says, "If we confess our sins," that's acknowledge our sins, "he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." So there's cleansing, there's forgiveness, there's power in Jesus. All we need to do is just acknowledge that we need him.
So if I fall, then God's not just wadding me up and throwing me in the trash can a piece of paper, right?
No.
Right. So God understands that we are human.
He wants us.
He understands that, you know, one of the psalmists writes, you know that I'm but dust. I'm frail.
Right. Yep. Mm-hmm.
God is merciful. God is compassionate.
Mm-hmm.
And when we break the Ten Commandments and we come to him, he's willing to forgive. But does that mean we should have the attitude that, oh, it doesn't matter if I want to do this, God will forgive me?
No. It comes down to what Jesus said in John 14, verse 15. "If you love me, you'll keep my commandments."
Mm-hmm.
If I have a relationship with Jesus, I want to be in harmony with him.
Mm-hmm.
And when I mess up, I know I can have forgiveness. Right. But I don't want to mess up because I love him.
I don't
want to
hurt him.
Right. It's like my wife. I don't want to hurt her. I love her. Right. Why would I go against what she wants? So
sin breaks his heart, and we don't want to break his heart.
That's right.
Just like the ones that we love. Number 15, how does a person learn to keep the commandments of God?
Mm-hmm. Psalm 40, verse 8. I love how he says it. I delight to do your will, O my God. Yea, your law is within my heart.
Amen. I love the promise. We're not going to read it. I'm just going to mention it. But Ezekiel 36, verse 26 and 27, he promises to give us a new heart.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
He promises to put his spirit within us.
Mm-hmm.
And as we yield ourselves to him, he will do this. And, you know, I think of the stories of Jesus healing the blind and the lame and the dumb and the maimed. That's what we are spiritually without him.
Right.
That's right.
And if he healed them physically in the stories of his life, can he not do the same for us spiritually?
Oh, of course.
He can do that. He
Praise
can heal.
God.
He can bring that healing to us.
And that peace. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. It's a wonderful thing.
And a life within his will, a life obeying his commandments, is not going to be boring.
Oh, it's the best.
I think we need to recognize
that's
that.
Right.
It says it is a delight. It's beautiful.
Delight. Because that's what we were created for.
Right.
It's a joy.
Yes.
It becomes a joy, a great Greater joy than anything else in this world can provide. Well, let's sum up our lesson as we finish up here. Number 16, what is the key to living in harmony with God's law? Mm-hmm. We've said this, but we want to end with it as well.
Yeah, because the law of God is all about love. And so Jesus says, as I mentioned earlier, if you love me, in John 14, verse 15, if you love me, keep my commandments.
Mm-hmm.
A question, is God's love sufficient enough to hold a man or woman in God's integrity?
Mm-hmm.
When God has the integrity that he wants us to live by, is his love strong enough to hold us in that despite all the temptations, all the struggles, all the pulls of this life and this world?
Yes.
Is God's love power? And that's really the question in the great controversy.
Right.
Satan wants us to not believe that.
Right.
But God demonstrates that love for us by stretching his arms out on the cross and dying. And he
what
says, my love is sufficient and my love is powerful
Praise
enough.
God.
Well, we're thankful for that.
Amen.
And that love results in an ever deepening surrender to Christ, which is our victory and our strength.
Amen.
Well, today there may be somebody out there who says, you know, I've not lived in harmony with God's commandments. I am a sinner. We're all sinners. And we confess that. But there may be somebody today who wants to receive the grace of Christ for forgiveness, but also empowerment. And friend, if that's you today, I invite you to accept Christ, to claim the promise of God that he will receive you and he'll cleanse you, he'll purify you, he'll forgive you. And if you believe that, if you believe that that's true for you, it will be so.
Mm-hmm.
So Pastor Walter, I'm going to invite you now, if you would, to just offer a prayer for those folks who are making that decision right now.
Right. Let's pray. Father, we are so thankful for your law. It reveals to us the beauty of your character and who you are and our need for you. At the end of the day, we want to be in harmony with you, and we know that by trusting and having faith in Jesus, all this will be possible. And so thank you that you want to live in us through the Holy Spirit, empowering us to do your will. We love you, God, and I want to pray in a special way for those who are making decisions right now to surrender their hearts and lives to you. Come into their hearts and write your law on their hearts and their minds and empower them to have that peace and that joy that we can have in Christ as we have peace with you. Thank you for everything you have done, for your love on the cross and for the love that you want to pour into our lives every day. We commit ourselves to you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Now, Pastor Walter, there may be somebody in the Grand Haven area or Coopersville area or greater area of that part of Michigan, they'd like to come and visit your church. Are they welcome to do that?
Oh, anytime. We are always open for visitors, and our services are every Saturday starting at 9:30. You can join us, and we have Bible study, we have fellowship, we have meals. We're ready, so just come.
All right. We would encourage you, if you're living in that area, to visit their church. You can also go to strongtowerradio.org. on the listeners' resources tab, and there is a list of churches across Michigan. If you're not in the Grand Haven area, we invite you to go there and plug into a church family that'll bless you. You guys can study the Bible together and they'll receive you. We look forward to seeing you again on the Open Word. We're out of time today, but I want to thank our guests, and we look forward to seeing you again.
Thank
God
you.
God bless you.